as you take your seats. Praise God. Praise God. I want to share a message today. And we're going to be reading a story that if you've even had any knowledge of church in this country, you will know this story. And we're gonna read it in a moment. The story about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. How many of you ever went to Sunday school in this country? How many of you ever been like in? How many of you know the song? Come on, put your hands up if you know the song. So you're gonna sing it with me, okay? Because I don't have the voices of some of our worship team. Okay, so we're gonna sing it together. The wise man built his house upon. Don't look at me like you don't know it. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the waves came tumbling down. The rain came down, and the floods came up. Whoosh! And the floods came up. Whoosh! And the floods came up, but the house on the rock stood firm. Now give yourself a clap. And if you don't know it, well, there you are. My gift to you. You just learned a new song. But you see, the thing is, sometimes we know a passage from Scripture so well that we can miss. We can miss a revelation that is in that story that God wants us to catch. So I'm going to read it to you, and we're reading from Matthew 7, starting at verse 24. And this is Jesus speaking. He said, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Everyone, however, who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Now, suddenly God started to show me a different perspective on this story last night. You see, I always used to think, you know, the kind of wise man is the Christian, the foolish man is the person who hasn't made Jesus Lord yet. And that was how you drew the line. And suddenly I started to realize, wow, I've been that fool. Let me explain. You see, the wise man is the one who does the word that he hears. Has anyone ever heard a word and not done it? Anyone ever gone to church, heard something, or read your Bible in the morning and then walked a different way that week? Anyone? Come on. Come on. You see, I believe that we all have lived in both those camps. But you see, this passage isn't about what we do when all is well. This passage is about what we do when the storms hit. Are you catching this? You see, the wise man is the one who behaves a certain way when suddenly it's all gone horribly wrong around him. And you see, what does the house represent? Because yes, it represents our lives, but I don't think it just represents that. I think, you know, when I look over my life, there's times I've embarked on projects and it's like building a house. There's times when I've set out in a new season and it's like a brand new building, a brand new structure that God is calling me to build one brick upon another. How many of you are getting what I'm saying? There's times when I know, have you ever just known that you've met someone and it's a kingdom connection? How many of you know that even in relationships, the storms come? The people who are most important in my life, I've had opportunity to get hurt and walk away from those relationships. And so a relationship is like something we build and we keep building and we keep building. And when the storm comes and suddenly they let us down, they betray us, they treat us in a way that broke our hearts, or they say something or do something that has us torn in two, the wise man says, but you know what? I've heard the word that says walk in love. The wise man says, but I've heard the word that says forgive and keep on forgiving and keep on forgiving and keep on forgiving. And so I'm going to do the word that I heard. You see, the difference between the wise one and the foolish one is what we do in the storm. It's what we do in the valley. It's what we do as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's what we do in our darkest hour, in our place of pain. It's what we do then. And so I want to share this morning three principles that God has put on my heart for how God wants us to be a word doer during the storm. And let me tell you, you might not be in a storm right now. But you know what? Anyone notice seasons change? I'm not prophesying. I'm not pronouncing something over you. But storms come and storms go. And so you will be in a storm one day. And my prayer for you, those of you who aren't in a storm right now, those of you who aren't in a difficult place right now, my prayer is that this word will arise on the inside of you just at the moment when you need it the most. You know, that's why we need to hide his word in our heart. That's what David said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, I don't want to sin in my dark seasons. And so I need to hide his word in my heart so that when the storm comes, I know how to make my way through the valley of the shadow of death and out the other side. So I want to share a little bit about this week. It's been a very intense week for me. I spoke to my dear spiritual mother last Saturday. She called me. Her call came into me last Saturday afternoon. She was 5 hours behind, so it was the morning for her. She was in intensive care alone, but managed to call me from intensive care. And we chatted for about half an hour, and she said some really profound things. And I'm thinking, why are you saying that now? You know, and we had a precious chat. And then she said, gotta go, because someone was on the other line. And then in less than... Well, basically, the following morning, she woke up incoherent. By Sunday evening, she was in intensive care again. And by Monday, she was fighting for her life. And I want to tell you a little bit about what this lady means to me. Because the reason I'm sharing this is because I want you to grasp something of how you can respond to some of the things that you go through. But this lady, she first was in Harvest in 2011. She first came here. God supernaturally brought her to this church. My husband had been desperately trying to find her on the internet. She was in a period of prophetic hiding. Sometimes prophets just go into hiding, and she did that. And so he, after searching and searching to find her, eventually said, God, if it's your will for this woman to come to this church, then you need to just send her. And that was in November 2010. And then April 2011, I got a call from my spiritual father, Pastor Ken Gott. And he called, and out the blue, just said, would you like to have Kathy Lechner in your church? And my husband was just like blown away. He hadn't even shared with me. We knew her ministry, but he hadn't even told me what he'd been doing. So 2 months later, she came to this house for the first time. And the moment that God really bonded our hearts together was when she, on the last day of being here, we didn't know her at all. She knew nothing about us. We knew nothing about her. But on the last day that she was here, she called forth everyone with incurable diseases. So I asked Roro to go and get my daughter from Children's Church. Abby because she has had medical challenges. And so she was on the front and Prophet Kathy was going down the line just praying for people. And then she stopped at Abby. And she, first of all, gave a string of very accurate words of knowledge about her schooling, about her personality, about what teachers thought of her. A series of so accurate words of knowledge. And then she stopped and she said, "Oh Lord, I hope I'm hearing you." And then she said, "Your sister in heaven. We lost our first child in the year 2000. Our only child at the time." She said, "Your sister in heaven is looking down on you. And the anointing she was due to carry, you'll carry your own and hers." And the word continued. And I have a photo of the aftermath of that word, because when she then handed the service over, I was sitting crying. Prophet Kathy was sitting crying. My husband was crying. We have a picture of their embrace upstairs after that word. In that moment, our hearts were knit together. And that woman has taught me so much. That woman loved me in ways that I didn't even know a human being could love another human being. She loved me so lavishly that at the beginning of it, I didn't know what to do with her love, because I actually thought it was a bit odd. I'm thinking, why would you say those things? Like, you know, I didn't know what to do with all this love in the first few years of our relationship. And I would always love her back and honor her. And I knew how to love her, but I was like, whoa, what's all this? And so I got transformed by God through the love of God that flowed through her to me. God changed me. I have never, ever in my life been so lavishly loved by a human being on earth. We would see each other 10 times a year. She lives in America. She was like my U.S. home, my U.S. anchor, my U.S. I don't know how else to put it. Virtually every trip, I would end up in her home my last few hours and sit with her, and we'd laugh and we'd talk about the trip. And I would leave her home straight to the airport. We would speak maybe 5 times a week by text. So she really was so much to me. And, you know, God, you see, I said, oh, these gifts that we have, you know, they're irrevocable. But for there to be enough room in our hearts for the gifts to flourish, you know, we can't keep pain in our heart. You know, I remember when God showed me that I have no right to carry pain, because my heart wasn't made to carry pain. It was made to give and receive love. Your heart wasn't made to be a pain container. It was made to receive and give love. And, you know, God started healing my heart. May sound odd to you, but on Wednesday, before she died on Saturday morning. And he started then. And, but then last night, you know, we can choose our perspective on our situations. And I'm going to get into the three keys in a moment. But last night, I was in the kitchen and I was home this weekend. My husband is in Ghana. My children are at the youth encounter with the church. And you know, this is something, you know, we can always choose our perspective on our circumstances. We can choose to believe Satan's spin, or we can choose to see a kingdom perspective. And so, you know, I remember thinking, you know, I'm home, it's me and a beautiful fire that was raging, as in contained in our fireplace, don't worry, and my beautiful dog. And I was just talking to the Lord and just reflecting. And you see, we never know what it is that's going to trigger pain. And I walked into the kitchen last night, maybe about 8:30 p.m. I walked into the kitchen. And I had just listened to the first message my son has ever preached. He ministered yesterday at the youth encounter, and I was blown away. I was like, wow. I mean, I sent him the longest text because he forwarded it to me and said, Mummy, I want feedback. Bless his heart. I sent him the longest text. I said, I can't believe this is your first time ministering. And then I walked in the kitchen and suddenly I thought, I want to tell my mama. I want to tell her what Benji just did. I want to share with this woman. There's no one else I want to tell. I want to tell her. And suddenly, just this howl from the inside came out. I was in my kitchen, but I just fell on the floor. And just this howl, this pain from the inside, I was just crying and crying, this big cry just coming out in the presence of God. And I was saying, but God, it's not the same when I tell you. It doesn't feel the same telling you as it does. We're telling her. I want to tell her. She prophesied this moment. I want her to know that that word was fulfilled. I want to tell her. I want to send her his message. And I just cried and cried on the floor. And that was another healing encounter in the presence of God. There's a reason why I'm saying this. You see, the first thing we have to do with any storm that hurts is we must be healed. You see, the Bible doesn't say that the wise man is the one who believes in Jesus. The Bible says the wise man is the one who does the word that he hears. Well, I heard in Lamentations 2:19 where it says, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. I heard that word. You see, if we will do the word, then we're going to see something change on the inside. You know, one of the lies that the devil tells about grief and loss is that somehow holding on to the pain of the loss is a way of holding on to that person. But let me tell you what holding on to pain does, and I learned this after my daughter died, after my dad died. You see, the pain uses up some precious space in my heart that God wants to fill up with his love and his kindness for someone else. So if I'm holding on to pain, if I'm holding on to the hurt, that I'm keeping a little bit of my heart back from him. And you know what? Every time I choose to say heal, you know, I remember saying to the Lord after Naomi died. She was 2. And I remember saying to the Lord, after I eventually was reaching the place of being able to let her go, I remember saying, God, I learned to love through Naomi. She taught me how to love a child. But Lord, this is my promise. Her legacy will be that she taught me to love, but I will get better at that every day. I will not stay in that place of love. She taught me, but I'll go on. I'll do more. I'll grow. Are you catching this? You know? And so we need to do what the word says. I want to look at 3 principles that I believe are going to help you when you face a storm, whether you're in one right now or whether you're in a great place. These principles are going to help you because, you see, we know whether we're wise not by how beautiful the house was. Some of you, you've gone through seasons and you've been growing in your relationship with God. You've been pressing in. You've been praying. You've been reading the word. You've been seeing growth. And then some tragedy struck. And it all fell apart. And you were, God, how could you let me down? And you broke down. And you gave up, maybe for a whole season. But you see, I've done that before. I've been there when stuff's happened and my reaction has been to lie down and give up. I've been in those moments where the disappointments have been so big that I've just said, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. But you see, when I do that, then I'm like that foolish man because the house that was being built is going to fall down flat, not because God didn't, but because I didn't. 3 principles I want us to look at. And the first is this. We get to decide. We get to decide what we dwell on. We get to decide what voices we listen to. We get to decide what our attitude is. We get to decide how we react and how we respond. Turn to your neighbor and say, you get to choose. You see, we get to choose our response to the storms. We get to choose whether we believe the devil's spin. You know, I fell on my knees because Hezekiah fell on his knees and prayed and said, God, give me 15 more years. And my mama couldn't do that because she was in intensive care and hooked up to all these machines. So I did it on her behalf. I fell on my knees facing the wall just like Hezekiah. And I said, Father, give my spiritual mama 15 more years. And something came up my mouth. I said, I'm not ready for her to leave, God. I'm not ready for her to go. And I poured out the pain of that, but then I realized the lie of that. Because you see, the Bible has a different perspective. The Bible says that you and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, the Bible says there's no test that you've gone through that he's not able to lead you out. It says, consider it joy. Whoa. Whenever you face trials of many kind, knowing this, that the testing of your faith will produce perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature. How many of you want to be mature? Amen. Mature and complete, not lacking anything. So as soon as I realized, and I'd poured out the pain of that feeling, it was a feeling, I'm not ready to be without you. But then I said, God, I thank you that I'm ready for any season that you take me into. Lord, it may not have been you that you know, God is not the author of sin. God is not the author of sickness. God is not the author of disaster. God is not the author of trauma. God is not the author of death. Far from it. But you know what? He sees the end from the beginning. He knows what you are about to go through. He knows the way out. He knows you can make it even when you thought you couldn't make it, but we get to choose. When those voices say, I can't handle this anymore, we need to say that voice is a liar. That voice is not telling the truth because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, we get to decide what our attitude is going to be in the storm. We get to decide what we dwell on. What does it say in Philippians 4 verse 3? It says, whatever things are true, let's rebuke the enemy who's always a liar. Please never let the words, I can't handle this, come out your mouth ever again. Please never let the words, this is too much for me, resonate round and round your mind anymore, because you know what? It might be too much for you alone, but it's not too much for you and Jesus. It's not too much if you will walk through it with him. You will come out the other side transformed. Let me say something about that as well. You know, when we're carrying yesterday's pain, you know, if I hadn't been fully healed after the death of my daughter, which many people say you never get over it, find chapter and verse and I'll believe you. It says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You see, so God healed my broken heart. He healed my husband's broken heart. So when my dad died, it wasn't, there was no context of death left. It wasn't another death. And when my dear, dear, dear spiritual mama died yesterday, it wasn't in the context of my dad's death last year. It wasn't, gosh, I've lost another pillar in my life. No, because I got healed after my dad died. So now this is just today's pain. If you're still carrying yesterday's pain, you need to get healed of yesterday's pain so that you can handle today's pain. And you see, the more that we get healed, the more we can do these three things in the midst of the storm. That is why God called us to birth this ministry called Healed for Life, because it's a movement of people who say, I'm not getting off my healing journey. I'm not seeing it as a one-time thing. I know that life hurts, and so I need to get healed constantly. We treat our cars better than we treat our hearts, because we know our cars need a regular service, and just think our hearts have to just get by. So we can choose whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely. Whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, think on these things. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And some translations, instead of mind, it says attitude. We choose our frame of mind. Listen, this isn't denial. Nudge your neighbor and say, she's not speaking about denying the pain. You need to let go of the pain. I'm not talking about pushing pain down. When we push pain down and we try and be strong, we end up carrying so much weight. And some of you are carrying so much weight and God wants to lift it off you. But you see, we get to choose what we dwell on. We get to decide. Say, I decide. The second point that I want to make. You see, the Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Now again, this isn't about denial. You see, we can choose even with our words what our perspective is on the season that we're in. You know, I remember thinking, gosh, I'm going to be really careful about how I describe this week, because it isn't just that I've lost this dear, dear, dear treasure who I love with every ounce of my being. It's been an incredibly intense week for the ministry, Healed for Life. Some major, major issues have arisen that we've had to tackle. And it's been crazy, you know? It's been like, yeah, you got the picture. You know, like when a storm comes, sometimes you don't know where the next wind gust is coming from. You know, but I remember choosing, I'm going to be very careful about how I even describe to myself what this week's like. I said, it's intense. It's challenging. You see, we can choose. What does the Bible say when the going get, not the Bible, sorry. What does that popular song say? I do know my word, I promise. When the going gets tough, and what the Bible does say, which is the same thing. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is weak. You see, in the day of adversity, we get an opportunity to say, do you know what? In the midst of this, I'm gonna make the right choices. In the midst of this, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. You see, these voices, when stuff happens, when you've been believing for something, believing for a certain outcome, praying maybe for a job that you just really knew was yours, a promotion, and you're praying and believing and pressing in and going for it, and then that job's given to someone else. And the devil says, no point praying now. Devil says, oh, don't bother reading the Bible. It didn't work. And then we wonder why the house falls down flat. Because it's exactly at that time. Say that time. Say that time. That we need to make a decision. Do you know what? Now I'm going to pray. Now I'm going to read my word. Now I'm going to press in. Now I'm going to, you know, when we don't understand, just trust. When a child doesn't understand why they can't have chocolate, you know what? Like the way you know they're growing up is they learn to trust. You know, there's times when we just have to trust. And we might not understand it all, but we just say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord, in the midst of the storm. So we need to decide. Number two, we need to declare. Let the weak say I'm strong. Not let the weak say, I don't know how I'm going to come out of this. Not let the weak say, oh my God, I can't do this. Oh, I haven't got what it takes to handle this difficult time. No, I'm not saying go into denial or lie, but I am saying choose your words. Turn to your neighbor and say, choose your words. You know, I love what it says in Romans 10, verse 8, it says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That's why we need his word hidden in our heart. When we hide it in our heart, then in the moment that we need it, it will come out of our mouth. We can make those choices to say, do you know what, God, I'm coming out the other side of this. You know what, God, I'm ready for this. Because I'm going into this with you. Father, I thank you that you're going to guide me and lead me. He restores your soul. He leads you beside quiet waters. We might walk through. Say, I walk through. Which means I come out. Say it, which means I come out. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we come out the other side. And the way we protect the things most precious to us is by saying, do you know what? I'm going to make sure at the moment. You see, we find out whether what we've built is on sand or on the rock in the moment that the storm strikes. That's when we decide. That's when we declare. That's when we speak to ourselves like David did. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his. Listen, he wouldn't have been telling his soul to bless the Lord if his soul felt like it. Do you get that? We need to tell our souls what they're gonna do sometimes. Do you know what? You know what? You're gonna bless God right now. Because God is good. He is always good. You know, my heart's desire is that we learn to silence Satan's spin and get a heavenly perspective. I remember after Naomi died, my husband and I worked out based on a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. We said, wow, we're going to see her in 40 minutes. That really, really encouraged me. It comforted me. You might say, well, that's just weird. I said, no, I liked that. That helped me. And so that was like however many years ago. So you know what? I'm going to see my mama in maybe 30 minutes. And I saw someone put something so funny on Facebook or Instagram. A guy that was close to her, young man. She was a real kind of mentor to him. And he's a pastor. And he put on Facebook, I reckon you've run into heaven, grabbing hold of the arm of Jesus, and then you've rushed to your huge Sicilian mansion, and you got together with all your Sicilian relatives, and you're eating all the pasta that you want. And do you know what I thought? I thought, I bet you don't put on calories in heaven. You see, we can lift our own spirits by just in a moment. I'm not talking denial. I can't tell you how important this is. We pour out our pain. That's part of doing what we're called to do. We were never, ever, ever told to carry pain, to keep pain, to hold on to it. We're told to get healed. But then we can choose. You get to decide. You get to declare. You know what? You might say, oh, declarations sound like something for the mountaintop. Let me tell you, you don't need them in the mountaintop the way you need them in the valley. I declare, Lord God, that I'm going to finish this year well. I declare, Lord God, that next weekend's Healed for Life is going to be the greatest ever. I declare I'm going to carry an anointing I've never, ever carried. I declare that I have now a piece of Prophet Kathy's mantle of love that I've stuck over my heart. And when I want a prickle, I'm going to love. And I'm going to spot the Daniels everywhere I go. And I'm going to love them. I'm going to pour out something that I didn't have before. We get to decide. I want to ask you to stand. You know, Nike had a revelation. Just do it. You know, one of the things, you know, I don't know if anyone, well, obviously Pastor Temi and Mary were there, but those years ago after Naomi died, Roro was there. I can't remember who was with us back then. How many of you were there back then? The Sunday after Naomi died. Wow. Yeah. And, you know, we went to church and then we went off to Ireland for a couple of days after the funeral. And while we were gone, our good friend, Pastor Scott Chapman, preached a message. And he stood there. I've never forgotten. I wasn't there. We listened to it on a tape. Those who are under the age of whatever. A tape is the old school Spotify. And his word was this. Continue to do the things you know to do. If you're in a storm right now, dig into the word. If you're in a storm right now, press in prayer. If you're in a storm right now, decide what you dwell on. If you're in a storm right now, make sure you get time alone with God to pour out the pain. Make sure that you take responsibility for the well-being of your own soul and that you get healed in the presence of our wonderful Savior. If you're in a storm right now, do the things that you know deep down are the right things to do, even when you don't feel like doing it. Because you know what? You're going to look back and go, wow, I went through all that, but the house stood strong. Wow, the wind beat, the floods rose, the rain descended, but wow, the house stood firm. I want you to shut your eyes and lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord. And right now, if you're in a storm, right now, if there's a heaviness in your heart, if you're hurting about anything, just tell God, Father, I need you to heal my heart. Father, I want you to do a work deep on the inside of me. I'm not going to carry any pain around with me unnecessarily. Father, will you heal me deep down? Ask the Lord right now. And then, right now, just declare, I decide to dwell on heaven's perspective of my circumstances. I decide to believe the report of the Lord. I will silence Satan's spin, and I will listen to the truth of your word. I will say the right stuff, and I will do what I know to do. Now I want you to put your hands together for the Lord Jesus.